Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesuvos, Daf Tzadi Dalet. We begin four lines from the top, Tzadi Dalet Omud Aleph. And we're in the middle of a discussion. Yesterday we gave Teretz number one. Today we're going to give Teretz number two to the Mishnah. We had a machlokas. And yesterday, the end of the share between the Tanakama and Benanis, we had the man married to four wives, and he dies, and each of the wives is collecting the Ksuba. So wife number one was married first, so her priority for the Ksuba trumps all the other three wives. Wife number two was next. She trumps number three and four. Wife number three trumps wife number four. And in this situation, each one has to swear. So everybody agreed, wife number one has to swear to wife number two, wife number two has to swear to wife number three, wife number three has to swear to wife number four, but machlokas, does wife number four have to swear or not? Tanakama holds that wife number four doesn't have to swear, whereas Benanis said that she does have to swear. So yesterday we suggested at the end of this year that the difference was between them was if a Baal Chov grabs something, Baal Chov Me'ucha Shekadam V'gova, that's what they're arguing about. That the Tanakhama says that no, if wife number four were to grab the ksuba, so she would have to give it back. So therefore, there's no reason for her to swear that she already did not collect her ksuba during the lifetime of her husband, because even if she does grab it now, she'll have to give it back. Whereas Benana said, no, Masha Gova Gova, if she in fact grabbed it, so she wasn't supposed to, but once she grabs it, she wasn't entitled to it, so therefore she keeps it. So therefore, the Nana says she has to make a shua to the others before she grabs it, that in fact she hadn't been paid by the late husband during the husband's lifetime. So that was Teretz number one. Today we have Teretz number two. We are four lines on the top, Tzadi Dalet Omer Aleph, with the words in parentheses, Omer, but it's a new Teretz, so it really should be Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua. So Rav Nachman says in the name of Rabba Baravua the following Teretz. He says, in fact, the Kuliyamo Masha Gova Lo Gova. Everybody agrees with what we said was the Tanakhama's opinion yesterday, that if somebody grabs something that they're not entitled to, so they don't keep it. They have to go and give it back. So even though wife number four may be entitled to the ksuba, but she's not entitled to it more than wives one, two, and three. And therefore, she did grab it, she'd have to go and give it back. So therefore, everybody agrees, Masha Gova Lo Gova. So then, why would Benana say that she has to make a shvua? What purpose would that serve? So the Gemara says, V'hocha b'chayshinan shemotachsif komiflugi. Here, the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Benanis is whether we're concerned that wife number four, if she does grab it, well, yes, she'll have to give it back, but since she knows she may have to give it back, she's not going to take good care of the field. And therefore, Tanakhama is not concerned that she won't take good care of the field, and therefore he doesn't make her make a shvua. Whereas Benanis is concerned that she's not going to take good care of the field, and therefore we better make a shvua that in fact she hasn't collected a ksuba, because once she doesn't take good care of the field, it's going to be too late to do anything. So therefore, that's what they're arguing about. They're arguing the Tanakhama Benanis as to whether or not the fourth wife is not going to take good care of the field. Mar Savar Benanis holds Chayshidin Tebach Tachsit. We are concerned that she's not going to take good care of the field. She's not going to do Lashbuche Ari. She's not going to, let's say, fertilize the field. She's not going to go and put in the proper nutrients into the field. Ella Shomtov Yochlo. She's just going to go and eat and take as much as she can. And then if somebody grabs it from her, so then, okay, no loss to her. She didn't put anything into it, and she just grabbed whatever she could while she could. Whereas the Tanakhama holds, Umar Sovar, Lo Chayshin and Shematasiv. We're not concerned over here. As Rashi says, Tanakhama, Lo Chayish, Lo Shematasiv. He's not concerned that she's going to inappropriately take care of the land, and therefore he doesn't make her make a shvua. So this is the second teretz as to what the Tanakhama and Benanis are arguing about. We have a third teretz now. Abaya Amar, Abaya says, the Abaya Kashisha Ika Benayu. The Tanakhama and Benanis are arguing about the din of Abaya Kashisha. Now, Abaya is saying this. Abaya Kashisha is a different Abaya. It's the elder Abaya, Abaya Kashisha, and he had made a statement which is the source of the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Benanis, according to Abaya. What is that? What did Abaya Kashisha say? The Tony Abaya Kashisha, we learned the following braisa that Abaya Kashisha said, Yisomim Shamru, Rashi explains the Dibra Masri, Yisomim Shamru, Habali Para Mehen, if somebody's going to collect from the estate of the Yisomim, Lo Yipara El Bishvua, they have to go and make a shvua. Because, as we pointed out previously, the Yisomim don't necessarily know what was going on in their father's estate. So therefore, the person who wants to take from Yisomim has to make sure that he wasn't paid back. This is a legitimate debt that is owed to them. And they have a document. They obviously have proof. But they have to swear that they haven't been paid back already. Now, when it says that you have to make a shvua to the Yisomim, those Yisomim Sha'amru, are Gedolim. It said that they are adults. Now, Gedolim normally means adults. Now, and it certainly doesn't have to also say that you'd have to make a shua to Ketanim. Now, Yisomim, even if they're adults, aren't going to know what happened with their father. So Abaye Kashisha said that even though you're making the claim on an estate that's now owned by adults, but those adults are like ketanim. So certainly, if they're ketanim for real, you'd have to make shvua. But even if they're adults, Abaye Kashisha says that you have to go make a shvua because those adults certainly don't know what happened in their father's business dealings. So the machlokas between the Tanakam and Benanis revolves around, do you or do you not agree with Abaye Kashisha's statement in this brisa? So the Tanakama less lay the Abaye Kashisha. He doesn't hold from the din of Abaye Kashisha. And since this fourth wife is a gedola, there is no requirement for making a shvua over here, because all the wives are considered gedolim, and therefore they don't have to go make a shvua, because this din of protecting the estate, protecting the orphans, is only when you're dealing with ketanim, but not with gedolim. That is against what Abaye Kashisha said, but that's what the Tanakam holds. Whereas Benanis is like the Abaye Kashisha. Benanis holds from what Abaye Kashisha said, and therefore this fourth wife has to also make a shvua to the orphans to say, yes, I'm collecting my kesubah from the estate. I haven't collected. She makes a shvua. She hasn't collected it yet, and that's why Benanis says she has to make a shvua, because he holds like Abaye Kashisha. So this is the third final teretz that we have, the machlokes between the Tanakam and Benanis. Now the Gemara says, Amar Ravuna, Ravuna says, what about the following case? Now this vav is u trei shutzer, it means or. So you either have two brothers or you have two partners. The islahu dina bahadichad, and they have a litigation with somebody else. Now, not both brothers or not both partners go to the litigation. Only one of the brothers or only one of the partners goes to the litigation and they lose. The also chad minayu bahade ladina, and they lost. One of them goes, either one of the brothers or one of the partners goes to this litigation with this other person, and they lose. Now, lo matzi either the other brother or the other partner can't go and say, l'meimer lei, and go and say to the person that the other brother or other partner had litigated with and lost, at lav bal dvar didiyah. They can't go and say, Rav Huna says, that, listen, you won the litigation against my partner or against my brother, but now you got to go litigate against me. The fact that you won against my brother or my partner doesn't mean that you're going to win against me. So Rav Huna says he can't say that. Ella, shlichusei avad. We say in this situation that the other brother or the other partner, they basically sent the one who went to court and lost on their behalf. And therefore, the whole partnership or both brothers lost the case. Not that one of them lost and now the other is going to go litigate and try to win. And that's what Rav Huna said. And ikla Rav Nachman l'sura. Such a maisa happened that Rav Nachman went to Sura. And they asked him this question, Shailu, in the Beis Medrash, they asked him, Ki hai gav namai, what would be the halacha in this situation where one of the partners or one of the brothers went to litigate the case and lost? So does that automatically mean that the other partner or the other brother also lost the case? So that's what they asked Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is a master dayan, and Amalu, Rav Nachman tells them, Masnesana, yeah, it's a Mishnah. Harishona nishbas l'shniya, our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that the first wife has to swear to the second wife. It didn't say she swears to the other wives, it said she swears to the second wife. That implies that when she swears to the second wife, she's essentially, the second wife is acting as the agent of the third wife and the fourth wife. So Rishonin Nishbas just l'shnia, Ushnia just l'shlishis, and Ushlishis just l'revius. Now, it doesn't say in our Mishnah, Rav Nachman says, V'ilu Rishona l'shlishis loktani. It doesn't say that the first wife has to swear to the second wife, the third wife, and the fourth wife. That's de facto what happens when she swears to just the second wife. And secondly, the second wife is acting on behalf of the third wife and the fourth wife. And therefore, my timer, why doesn't she have to swear to all of them? Because la bishum d'shlichusei avda. She's acting, say, essentially as a shliach on behalf of wife number three and wife number four. So too, when one brother goes to litigate or one partner goes to litigate, they're acting as a shliach on behalf of the other partner or the other brother. And therefore, if they lose, so both brothers are considered to have lost, both partners are considered to have lost. So that's what Rav Nachman says. Our Mishnah is a raya to the statement of Rav Huna. Mer says, not so fast. Mi dami, the two cases aren't exactly the same. How can you compare the two? Hasam, when we're talking about in our Mishnah, the wife makes a shua to wife number two, so she's acting in that shua as a shaliach for wife number three and number four. No. Hasam shua liachot shua lebeya. What difference does it make if wife number three or wife number four is over there? When she makes the shvua, that's basically it. She said, I did not collect my ksuba from our husband while he was alive. And therefore, I'm entitled to get the ksuba now, after he passes away. So what difference does it make if she makes that shvua to wife number two, or she made it also to wife number three or to wife number four? A shvua is a shvua is a shvua. So awesome, shvuli achel shvuli mei. It doesn't make a difference. You make the shvua for one person, you make the shvua for many people. It's one shvua. But in our case over here, with one brother or one partner goes to litigate and loses, That's not the same for the other brother or the other partner. Oh, I'm not. Because the other brother or the other partner can say, you did a lousy job litigating. Ilu ana havoi, if I had been there, I would have made a much better argument and I would have won the case. So when you lost for yourself, but you didn't lose for me. If the person that we're litigating with wants to go and take the money from me, he's entitled to take the half from you, he won the case against you. If he wants the other half, he has to come to me, so I will win the case against him, but he has to go litigate it again, and therefore the two cases are incomparable. The case of the shvua, one shvua echad, shvua lechad, shvua lemeya. But there, you put forth a lousy argument. If I had been there, the other partner or the other brother says, I would have won the case. And the Gemara says, this is a good argument. However, v'lo amar, we only say this, elo de lo ise b'masa. If the brother or the partner that didn't go to the litigation was not around, so then they have the right to make that claim. If I had been there, I would have won the case, and therefore I'm not going to be automatically losing because you lost the litigation. But that's only when they weren't there. Aval ise b'masa, if they were around, so the fact that they didn't show up, they were around and they didn't show up, so they basically were saying the other person, my other partner or my brother, is going to litigate on our behalf. And therefore, aval ise b'masa, iboyale l'mese, if they really felt that the other brother or the partner wasn't going to be able to litigate well, they should have shown up. And if they don't show up, so then they can't make the claim, well, if I'd been there, I would have won. You should have showed up. And therefore, you, in that situation, can't argue that I would have made a better argument, and therefore I would have won the case, and therefore you have to litigate against me another time. You can't just say you won against the brother or the partner that you won against, so you automatically win against me. That's not true. But it is true if he was around, if he was there and could have showed up, and he didn't. So then, in fact, Taka, when the litigant wins against one brother, he wins against the other brother or the other partner as well. The Gemara continues and says, we learned in the Beis Medrash, Shtei Shtaros Hayotzim B'Yomechot, if you have two documents that come out on the same day, Rashi says, Beis Shtaros, for example, Mochar Soda Achas, Ruvain sold a single field, L'Shnei B'nei Adam, he sold it to Shimon, and he sold it to Levi, B'Yomechot. Now, obviously, you can't do that. So one of them wasn't the real sale. But we don't know which was the real sale or not, because both Shimon and Levi have documents. So you have Shtei Sharos Hayotzi B'Yomecha. They both are dated the same day, so you can't distinguish which one is the real document and which one was already was sold, and therefore it's not a real document. So what do you do in this situation? They both come to the basin with the documents, and who gets the field? So Rav Amar Chokin. Rav says there's no way to possibly tell which shtar is a better shtar, and therefore Chokin. They split it, even though one person will be only getting 50% of what they're supposed to get. The other person wasn't supposed to get anything. But in this situation, Rav says, we don't know which one was supposed to get it, so therefore we divide the property in question. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel amar, shuda de daine. What you do is you make an evaluation. Rashi says over here, in Dibur Baschu shuda de daine, lefi ro'os einei hadayonim. We had this machlokes previously between Rashi and Tosus. Rashi says that the judge looks to see over here which one would have gotten it. Lefi ro'os einei hadayonim yatilu hazchus vechova. They have to say, well, listen, I think this guy was closer to him. I think this guy probably was the first one. And they make the best judgment that they possibly can. They make what's called the shuda, the dine, an evaluation. Rashi says in the next, Dibra Maskul Shuda, he says it means a loshon hashlocha. It says, come on, in Oz Yoshev, it says, Yorav Vayom. We translate that in the Targum as shodeh b'yom, was thrown into it. So you basically throw out your best effort and say, the judges say, we think that this would be most appropriate to go to Shimon and not Levi for the following reasons. That's the way Rashi understands Shuda the Daini. Previously we said, and Tosus understands it in a different way. Tosus understands it is that the judge does what he thinks is best. Not Lav Dafka, what he thinks the litigants would have done, but he thinks he does what is best. Okay, so the difference between Rashi and Tosus is what the Shuda the Daini actually is. Let's learn simple, like Rashi over here, that Rav says you just divide 50-50 because there's no way to know. You have two documents. How can you possibly tell? So therefore, we just split it 50-50. Or Shmuel says the judges do the best that they can to figure out which is the more appropriate owner. Is it Shimon or is it Levi? In the case where Reuven sold it to both of them on the same day with the document. Now, Nadigmor wants to suggest that this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel is a machlokes tanoim. Leimo, Rav, the Omar, Kirav, Meir, and that Shmuel is going to hold like Rabbi Elazar. What is that? Let us say, Leimo, Rav, the Omar, Kirav, Meir, that Rav holds like the opinion of Meir. What is that? The famous machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Elazar in terms of what makes a get. When a woman gets divorced, she needs to get a get. So is it the writing of the get and the signing of it by the witnesses that makes it into a get? And of course, you have to give it to the wife, but What makes it into a get? It's the signing of the get. That's Edei Chasim Akarsi, which is Rav Meir's opinion. So let us say that Rav holds like Rav Meir, the Omar, Edei Chasim Akarsi, that the witness is signing on the get, that's what makes it into a get. So when the witness is signed on this document here, so that's when it becomes a good document. It's not when you give it, it's the signing of the witnesses on the get. Of course it has to be given, but it's the signing of the witnesses on the get that makes it into a document. And therefore, Rav holds like Rav Meir that both of them were signed. And therefore, both of them are valid. And therefore, Hokin, there's no way to figure out which one is more valid than the other one. And therefore, Rav holds like Rav Meir, and therefore he says Chokin in our situation because it's the Edei Chasim Makarsi, and in this situation, Reuven's document to Shimon, Reuven's document to Levi, both had good Edei Chasim on it. Now we turn to Tzadi Dali number Beis. However, Ushmul holds like Rabbi Elazar. Ushmul, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, what is that? The Amar Edei Mesira Karsi. Rabbi Elazar holds that you technically don't have to sign the get itself. The two witnesses who watch the man give it to the wife, so even though it doesn't have signatures on the get, so you have the witnesses saying that we saw the Mesira. It's the Edei Mesira that effectuate the get. Now, in this situation, therefore, the judges have to decide which one of them do they think got it actually more appropriately. Was it Shimon or was it Levi? Because it's the Mesira that counts, not the document's signatures on it. And therefore, it's a Shuda Daidaini according to Shmuel because he holds like Rabbi Elazar. Gemara says, no, that's not correct. Rav doesn't hold like Rav Meir, and Shmuel doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar. At least that's what we're saying right now. Lo, the Kuli Amak Rabbi Elazar. In fact, we want to suggest that even Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar, that Edei Mesira or Karsi, because that's how we paskin in the Gemara in Gittin. And therefore, both of them hold like that. And the Gemara says, so what's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel? What does Rav say in our situation, Cholkin, and Shmuel says, Shuda the Daini? So this is what they're arguing about. B'hocha, b'hocha miflegi. Rav and Shmuel are arguing on the following. Which one is better? Rav Savar Chaluka Adipa. Rav says you can't really do a shoot at the dining in this situation, and therefore there's no way to know which one is the one that was given first, because they're both dated on the same day, and therefore there's no way to figure this out. And therefore he says, so divide it. It's better to do a division, even though you'll be 50% wrong, but at least you'll be 50% right. So Rav Savar Chaluka Adipa, it's preferable to do a chaluka in this situation. There's no way to know which one is the real one, so therefore, split it 50-50. Or Shmuel says, no. Shmuel Savar Shuda de Daine Adifa. It's better for the judges to make their best effort to figure out which one is right, and maybe they'll be 100% right. Or maybe they'll be 100% wrong, but maybe they'll be 100% right. And it's better to be 100% right than to only be a guaranteed 50% right, but 50% wrong. And that's what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. Which is better? Is it better to do a chalukah, or is it better to do Shuda de Daine, and maybe you'll guess 100% right? Mara says, really? Does Rav really hold like Rabbi Elazar? But I'll show you, Rav says, halachic Rabbi Elazar begitin. Rav specifically said, Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rav, that the halach is like Rabbi Elazar, but he said it's only in regards to a get. We hold that Edei Mesira Karsi, only in regards to a get. The implication is, in regards to shtaros, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Elazar. So how can you tell me here that Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar? And by the way, when Rav Yehuda, after Rav passed away, Rav Yehuda went to learn by Shmuel, so he said over this din to Shmuel, that Rav had said that Allah is like Belazar only in regards to Gittin, so Shmuel had said, af b'shtaros, that no, the halach is like Rav Belazar even by shtaros. So clearly, Rav and Shmuel disagreed as to what's the halach in regards to shtaros. Rav holds not like Rabbi Elazar. Rav holds in that situation like Rav Meir. And only Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. So how can you tell me that Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar by Shtaros? Mechal de Rav Svabah b'Shtaros slow. So therefore, that can't be a good answer. So Gemara says, Yataka, right? Ela Machbarta. So our original answer that we gave and we tried to say no is in fact correct. Rav holds like Rav Meir and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar. Machbarta, it's white, it's clear. Rav k'Rav Meir, Shmuel k'Rabbi Elazar. Gemara continues to question, Meisve, we ask the following Shaila on Shmuel. It says in the following Braisa, Shtei Shtaros Hayotzim B'Yom Echad Cholkin. Here it tells us Beferish that if you have two documents that are listed on the same day, that you divide them. Now, isn't that my case over here, the Gemara says? Our case of Reuven sold a field, let's say, to Shimon and to Levi. There's two documents listed on the same day. Rav said Cholkin, Shmuel said Shudid Daini. Okay, that's a Machlokas Amaroyim. But here we have a Braisa that says exactly like Rav. Therefore, to Yofta de Shmuel. Since the Brisa says, in this situation, Shtei Shoros Yosef Yom Echot Chokin, it's exactly like Rabin, to Yofta de Shmuel. How would Shmuel answer this? Amalok Shmuel. Shmuel would say, no problem. Homani, Reb Meir. This Brisa is authored by Reb Meir. We've already just said, the Rav holds like Reb Meir, so no problem. I hold like Reb Elazar. This Brisa is like Reb Meir. It's not a problem to me. I have a Tana to hold on. I hold like Reb Elazar. No, Rav holds like this Brisa, because this Tana is Reb Meir. No problem. But no, the Amrikah Rabbi Elazar. And Shmuel says, no problem. I don't hold like Rabbi Meir, I hold like Rabbi Elazar. Where he says, that's not going to be good. Because keep on reading this Brisa. The Brisa says, Shtei Shtaros Yosef Yom Echot Chokin. So that clearly is going to be the opinion of Rav. But how can you tell me that this is Rav Meir? That's what you're trying to suggest. E Rav Meir. If this is Rav Meir, then keep on reading the rest of that Brisa. Ema Seifa. It then says, what happens if Kosa Li'echad Umosa Li'echad? If you wrote the shtar to one person, but you didn't yet give it, Rashi says, and then you gave a shtar to the other person first, Umosa Li'echad. So then, what's the halacha? Zeh Shemosa Lo Kona. The one that got it first is the one that acquired it. Now that's Rebbe Lazar. So if you're going to tell me that the Brisa is Rebbe Meir, if you're Rebbe Meir, am I Kona? How come the second person gets it? Homer Eidei Chasi Makarsi. May holds that the signing of the document is what makes it. So then the first person should have been, if we know which one was first, so then the first person should get it. But here you're telling me it's the second person, the one that was Mosa Li'acher, who gets it. So clearly this isn't like Rav Meir. This is like Rebbe Elazar. So how can you tell me that this Brisa Shmuel is like Rav Meir? It's clearly like Rebbe Elazar. So Gemara says, Yataka, right? This Brisa is in fact like Rab, but I have a brisa that goes like me as well, Shmuel says. Tanoihi. This is a machlokes in the following brisa. The Tanya. Because it says in the following brisa. Now, what are we talking about in this brisa? So Rashi explains, in Dibra Maskul Chachamim Omri Vechule, he says this is at the end of the first perik in Gittin, Bishule Perikama de Gittin, where it says, Holech mona leploni. A man brings a mona to Shimon, let's say. So Reuven owed Shimon money, and Levi goes and brings the money from Reuven to Shimon. By the time he gets there, v'halachu biksho, he tries to find Shimon, v'lo matzo shemes, because he died. Shimon died. So what does he do? So he goes back to give the money back to Reuven. Yachzru l'mashaleach. But then he finds out, mesa mashaleach, then now Reuven's dead. So Levi is stuck over here. He has the money that Reuven had given him to give to Shimon, but what should he do with the money? So should he give it to the Yorshim of Reuven or not? So the Gemara says, v'chachamim yachloku. The Chachamim in that Brisa say that you split it. Yorshe Mishaleach, Yorshe Mishinish Talchulo. That you go and split it between Reuven and Shimon's inheritors. And that's what the Chachamim say. Now let's read it inside. So the Brisa says, the Tanya, the Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim over there say, Yachloku, you split it, this money that Levi had that belonged originally to Reuven, that he was supposed to give to Shimon, but both Shimon and now Reuven died, so you split it between the inheritors of Reuven and the inheritors of Shimon. That's what the Chachamim say. However, that's what the Chachamim said in Eretz Yisrael. They can Omru, but over here in Bavel, so they said, no, Levi can do with it whatever he thinks is most appropriate. And according to Rashi, he should figure out whether the money should go to Reuven's inheritors or to Shimon's inheritors. What was Reuven's intention? Was it only to give it to Shimon, or was it to give it to Shimon's inheritors or not? So that's what Rashi would say. And according to Tosso, Shudah D'Daini means he does whatever he thinks he wants to do is the best for it. So he says, listen, Reuven, his inheritors are very poor. Shimon's inheritors are very rich. I'd rather give it to Reuven. So that's what Tosso says you can do. But the bottom line is, Shmuel holds like the second opinion. Shmuel holds like the opinion of the Kan Amru, whereas Rav holds like the opinion of the Chachamim from Eretz Yisrael. The Chachamim Omrim Yachloku, that's Rav. And the Kan Amru, the Tamidei Chachamim in Babel, that's Shmuel. Mashi Yitzha Shlish, Yaseh. So therefore, both Rav and Shmuel each have a Tana that they hold like. Now the Gemara continues with the following story. Imei de Rami Bar Chama, the mother of Rami Bar Chama, who's also the mother of Mar Ukva Bar Chama, so she went and wrote, Kisab Tinhu Linichsa L'Rami Bar Chama B'Tzafra. She wrote a shtar giving over all of her property to her son, Rami Bar Chama B'Tzafra, in the morning. Then Liurcha, in the afternoon, towards nighttime, Kisatinu Lemar Ukva Barchama. She wrote the same day, the same property, to her other son, Mar Ukva Barchama. So in the morning she writes to Rami Barchama, and the afternoon she writes the same property over to Mar Ukva Barchama. And Rashi, in Dibra Maskul, Ime Dirami Barchama says, V'lo no da lemi mosra techila Shtar Matana. This was a Shtar Matana. This is a gift. And we don't know which one was actually given it first. We know it was written first to Rami, but we don't know if it was also given to Rami Bar Chama before it was given to Mar Ukva Bar Chama. So the children went to go and ask Ashaila, who gets it? Also, Rami Bar Chama went, Lekami de Rav Sheshes, went to Rav Sheshes and asked him who should get this property. So Ukme bin Nichsab, Rav Sheshes gave it to Rami Bar Chama. However, his brother went subsequently, or at the same time, without realizing, also Marukva, Lekami de Rav Nachman. The brother, Mar Ukva, went to Rav Nachman to passing the case, and Rav Nachman passing like Mar Ukva, Ukme bin Nichsab. So we have Rav Sheshes passing like Rami Bar Chama and Rav Nachman passing like Mar Ukva Bar Chama. So what's going to go on over here? So the two Dayanim, Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman, meet up. Also Rav Sheshes came to Rav Nachman. Rav Sheshes went to Rav Nachman. Mistam Rav Nachman was the senior judge, and Rav Sheshes went to him. And Amalei said to him, "My time Ovid Mar Hochi. What made you, Rav Nachman, paskin that Mar Ukva, the one who was written second, should go and get it?" So Amalei, Rav Nachman says to Rav Sheshes, "And knew, why did you go and give it to Rami Bar Chama, right? My timer of it, Marachi." So each one is asking the other one, "What was your svara?" Rav Sheshes says to Rav Nachman, "Why did you give it to Mar Ukva?" And Rav Nachman says to Rav Sheshes, "Why did you give it to Rami?" So Amalei, Rav Sheshes responds to Rav Nachman first, and he says to Kadim, "I gave it to Rami Bar Chama because he was the one that it was written to first. Everybody knows that his was written in the morning, and the one to Mar Ukva was written in the afternoon. So therefore, I gave it to the one that was written first." So Amalei, Rav Nachman tells him, "You're wrong. Atu b'Yerushalayim yasvinon dekasvinon shows. Are we living in Yerushalayim?" Remember, we learned in the Mishnah that in Yerushalayim they used to break up the same day into hours, and therefore a shtar that was written at 9 o'clock in the morning took precedence over a shtar that was written at 10 o'clock in the morning. It had a priority because they would write down the time of the day. Whereas no place else but Yerushalayim they did that. So in every place else but Yerushalayim, the din would be if it's written on the same day, you don't look at 9 o'clock versus 11 o'clock. It's irrelevant. It's the day that counts. Only in Yerushalayim does it make a difference as to whether it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. So Rav Nachman tells Rav Sheshes, they didn't live in Yerushalayim, and therefore, ought to be Yerushalayim, Yasvinon, Dekasvinon, Shos, we don't take into account the Shos. And therefore, I don't take into account the fact that it was written to Rami Bar Chama first, and only Mar Ukva Bar Chama afterwards. And therefore, there's no reason that Rami Bar Chama should get it. No, Rav Sheshes still asks, so why did they do Cholkin? After all, there's no reason why you should give it to Mar Ukva over Rami Bar Chama. Granted, you don't have a reason to give it to Rami Bar Chama, but why Bedavka Mar Ukva? Elamar, my time of it, Hachi. Rav Sheshes asks Rav Nachman, why did you give it to Mar Ukva and not Rami Bar Chama? So he says, Amalei, Rav Nachman says to Rav Sheshes, because of Shuta the Daini. I don't hold from Chokin. I hold that you have to go into the mind, so to say, of the mother of Rami Bar Chama and Mar Ukva Bar Chama and figure out which one she wanted to give it to. And I decided that I thought that, for whatever the reason, Mar Ukva was the one that she really wanted to give it to, and the other son, for whatever the reason, she didn't want to give it to him as much. So therefore, I made a Shuta D'Daini decision and gave it to Mar Ukva. No, Rav Sheshes says, Amalei, no, I also made a Shuta D'Daini. And Nami Shuta D'Daini. So therefore, why should your side win, so to say? Why should Mar Ukva win? I had Paskin, the Shuta D'Daini, that Rami Bahama should win. So therefore, it should be again two Beis Dins, we each paskin differently, so we should split it. That's what Rav Sheshes tells Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman tells him two reasons why that's not right. So Amalei, Rav Nachman says to him two reasons why you're not right. Number one, Chodo, Tehanoh Daini, Umar Lav Daina. Because I'm the senior judge here. I'm the only one that is entitled to go and make a decision of Shuta D'Daini. You're not qualified, so to say, to make a judgment of Shuta D'Daini. And therefore, my Shuta D'Daini works, and your Shuta D'Daini doesn't work. So I'm posking that Mar Ukva should get it, Shuta D'Daini, and it's irrelevant that you're posking that Rami Bar Chama should get it because you don't have the right to do so. And furthermore, number two, the Ode, that wasn't your reasoning. That's not why you said it. You said that you gave it to Rami Bar Chama because his was written first. But that's incorrect. We don't posk it like that. The Ode, Meikara, Labitoras, Hachi, Osisla. You're not saying that Rami Bar Chama got it because of Shuta D'Daini. You're saying he got it because he was written first. But that's not the way we paskin. So therefore, yours isn't even a Shuta D'Daini. Yours is just a simple mistake. And therefore, since we paskin by when it's given, Ede Mesira Karsi, so when it was given over, we don't know which one was given over first, and therefore, I made a decision, Shuda D'Daini. You don't have the right to make the decision, Shuda D'Daini. You're not qualified. And number two, you didn't make it because of Shuda D'Daini. You made it because you thought. You go by which one was written first, and that's a mistake. So therefore, Rav Nachman timed it that his psak, that it should go to Mar Okva, was correct. Another story, Hano Trei Shtore, the also came to Rav Yosef. There were two shtoros that came in front of Rav Yosef. Rashi explains, in the bottom Rashi, Hano Trei Shtore, Shomecher, Shiyotsu Asod Achaz. There were two documents that came out about a certain field. And one of them was written on it, Chad HaVikosov B'Chamshot B'Nisan. It was sold on the fifth day of Nisan. The Chad HaVikosov B'Nisan Stoma. And one just said it was sold during the month of Nisan, without specifying a date on it. Now, Okme Rav Yosef Paskin Lahau D'Chamshot B'Nisan B'Nechosim. So he said the one that had the date on it, he should be the one to go and get it. And the other one can make a tithe back to the one who sold it to them. Listen, you should give me back my money. But the one who was sold on the fifth day of Nisan has the right to get it. The other person said, Amalei Idach. The other person said to Rav Yosef, Vano Afsid, why should I lose out? So Amalei, Rav Yosef said to him, Ad Yod Chal Tachtona. The reason you lose out is because you don't have a date in your shtar. So, yes, he has a date on it of Nisan 5, the fifth day of Nisan, but maybe, Emo, by Esrin Ucha B'Nisan At. Maybe yours was only written on the 29th day of Nisan. In other words, any day after the fifth of Nisan, and therefore, his predates yours. And it was given to him before yours. And therefore, that is the real shtar. And I'm sorry, you lose out. Your hand is on the tachtonim because I don't know what date your shtar is on because it just says Nisan. So we have to presume the worst. And there could be any day after the 5th, such as the 29th day of Nisan. And therefore, he gets it and not you. Okay. He's listening to Rav Yosef, and he says, Amalei, he says to Rav Yosef, so at least, v'nichtov li mar, at least go and write for me, and we turn to Tzadi Heyomad Aleph, a document called the Tirfa, Rashi says, so litrof lekuchos me rosh chodesh iyar, shari moch lo b'achrayis. Since he purchased this with achrayis, so at least let me go and get my money back from the guy that I bought it from. Now, he doesn't have any property, but let me at least collect from any properties that he had, at least from, even if the worst comes to worst case, it was the 29th day of Nisan, so let me go. The next month is Iyar. So any properties that he had in his possession on Iyar, so I should be able to go collect from them. They certainly should be lien. My document is certainly prior to an Iyar document. Worst comes to worst, even if you don't know which day Nisan is it no worse, it couldn't be the 29th day of Nisan. So anything from Iyar and on, I should be able to go and be Torifit and use this document, this Tirfa, may Iyar ve'eloch, at least from the month of Iyar and onwards. But Rav Yosef said, sorry, buddy, you can't do that. Amalei, yoch le'lememeloch, because the person who purchased the field from the one who sold the field falsely to you, so he can argue, listen, you really had purchased it from the first of Nisan. And the guy who has the document from the fifth of Nisan, he's the one that has the problem. This is really a legitimate sale to you. You couldn't prove it. That's your problem. But I'm arguing that you purchased it at Bar Chad B'Nisanat. So therefore, you really own this property and you have to go and litigate to go and get it. But I don't have to go and give it back to you because at the time that the second guy bought it on the 5th of Nisan, you already owned it. So he's the one that has the problem. You have to go and get your money back from him. But I legitimately bought it from you. No problem. So you got a problem, but not me. So this poor guy is stuck. And one way, it looks like he's after the 5th of Nisan, but the other way, it looks like he's before the 5th of Nisan. So he seems to be stuck. He's losing out in both ways. So the Gemara says, no, what's his Eitzah? Maite Kante, how can you help this guy out? Let him come along with the guy that does have the property that bought it on the 5th, because he's the one that won the case, according to Rav Yosef. Nichtavu harshoh la'adode. Let the one who has this document that says he just bought it sometime in Nisan go to the guy that has the document and got the property from the 5th and say, listen, let's go together. So if anybody comes and tries to argue with me that I don't really have a claim with them because it really was my property and you shouldn't have won the case, so then you're giving me a hashah. You're saying, okay, so fine, then I'm collecting on your behalf. And if they want to argue, no, that you won, so then I'm collecting on my behalf. So Mimanushach, when they come together, so to say, when the person who has the shtar for Nisan combines with the shtar who has it from Hey Nisan, he can go and collect from somebody, and therefore he'll get his money back. The lekuchos, the leaned properties that he would be entitled to, so he'll at least be able to get them from Iyar, even if he can't get them from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, but he'll be able to at least get them. He won't be out totally for this leaned property. So again, it's a little bit complicated. I hope it was clear. But with this, we conclude today's shiur.